welcome to episode 52 of the Clacks Women for Independence podcast. And this music is Jazz in Paris by Media Right Productions. Well, Clacks Wifies have had another busy and exciting week. No virtual coffee shop this week because we've been out and about and doing stuff. We've been working on an activity plan for the next couple of months, so take us through to the beginning of winter. The virtual coffee shop has been fantastic for keeping in touch, and particularly for those who were shielding for part of the time or for those who live on their own. It's been a really good way of staying connected. But there's something about going into autumn and we're still in this, or what looks like the second wave of coronavirus, another wave of lockdowns. I'm bored with waiting for things to go back to normal. I kind of want to just crack on and let's create the new normal. One of the ways in which we've been doing that is looking at what activities can we do between now and certainly the Holyrood 21 elections, which is gearing up, I think, to be quite a showstopper. What can we do, albeit within the restrictions that are on us? So we had a really good planning meeting, a good discussion, and we've come up with an action plan, which I am going to share with you because I thought it might be helpful for other groups who are perhaps coming to the same conclusion, but also because you might have some great ideas and things we've not thought of, and if that's the case, we'd love to hear from you. We've made a start on some of the activities, and we're going to bring you quite a lot about that later on. In fact, I think I'll give you a little teaser right now of one of them. See if you can guess what we're up to here.
I presume you just have to open these up and close them back down.
And then you're supposed to hold it.
Then it's got this bit here for holding it.
How do you get it out? How did they get it in?
You have to go in from different angles.
Yes, and it depends on the shape of the thing as well. It's quite wide, but it is squashy.
You know, you almost need something to tie it on.
Well, did you guess? We'll find out later on if you were right or not. Now, talking of guessing, this week was the legislative consent motion at Holyrood for the Internal Market Bill. And yet again, fabulous speech from Mike Russell. And as you know, he is my favourite. But this time, the Tories had a wild guess as to which killer fact they could come up with that would blow the entire argument out of the water. Well, they chose their killer fact. They all used it. Wouldn't you just know that that's the week the Ferret fact-checking service chose to fact-check their killer fact? Let's see what happened.
Presiding officer, today we're faced with no ordinary decision about whether to give or withhold approval to a Westminster bill. For this debate is actually about a decision regarding the value of this Parliament and the people we serve, and whether we are prepared to stand up for them or allow a UK government to, and I quote, fundamentally overwrite and undermine a material part of the system of devolution that has operated in the UK for more than two decades. That devolution settlement came into being because of a decisive vote by the people of Scotland in 1997. Labour, and I'm happy to acknowledge Scotland's debt to the party and to Donald Dewar, legislated for that devolution referendum, and my party campaigned with them, Liberal Democrats and the Green Party, in favour of establishing this institution. We did not agree on the process that led to that vote, but when the choice came, the SNP backed what the people of Scotland wanted, and now when that choice is again in front of us, we do so again. I was part of that campaign, working with many, including Alec Rowley, to persuade our fellow citizens to mark their ballot papers with a double yes. And I'm in the same company again, though I do not relish the circumstances. I'm sure that Labour, the Liberal Democrats and the Greens will repeat today their commitment to what the people wanted then, as will we. Our vote will follow our voice. But alas, the Tories, no doubt, will again be true to their stance then, a stance taken directly against the will of the Scottish people. They were against empowering their fellow citizens then, and they're still against doing that 23 years later. Leopards don't change their spots. And having been rejected then, they've gone on being rejected, most recently in last December's Westminster election. Yet despite that, they are still seeking to take a wrecking ball to Scotland's Parliament and Scotland's democracy. That wasn't in their manifesto, but it was clearly in their minds then and always has been. I give way.
Liz Smith.
Full to the Cabinet Secretary taking an intervention. Does he accept that the internal market bill is very much about protecting jobs and investment in Scotland, and that is absolutely critical?
But the answer is no, I do not, and indeed the fact-checking service proves that that is not the case. But as I said, wrecking Scotland's Parliament was not put to the Scottish people by the Conservatives, but it is what they intended to do, and it is what they are trying to do. Presiding Officer, the memorandum before us today makes clear that if the bill becomes law, then the legislative powers of the Scottish Parliament and the executive competence of Scottish ministers, as they've been understood since 1998, would in many cases cease to exist. But as well as an assault on devolution, this bill is a recipe for regulatory incoherence and a race to the bottom. It is also a breach of international law. Presiding Officer, the fundamental principle of the Ministerial Code is that ministers must not knowingly break the law. That in itself is an incontrovertible reason why Scottish ministers cannot recommend legislative consent for the bill, but I would also argue that no member of a Scottish Parliament elected to serve the people of Scotland could ever recommend consent to such a bill. Members will be familiar with the main provisions, but let me go through them. The bill contains sweeping new blanket mutual recognition and non-discrimination provisions at parts 1 and 2, and these would require Scotland to accept lower standards relating to food, as pointed out by Food Standards Scotland, to the environment, as pointed out by Environment Link, and building materials, as pointed out by the Royal Incorporation of Architects, and those regardless of the views of the Parliament or the wishes of the people of Scotland, and the scope of those powers can be unilaterally changed by UK ministers and only by UK ministers. There are new measures for mutual recognition of professional qualifications that cause grave concern to bodies such as the General Teaching Council. There's a new oversight body tasked with second-guessing the policy choices of this Parliament, including in things like in the public services, like the health service or public water supplies. Measures at Part 5 of the bill break international law and betray a cynical disregard for Northern Ireland, which has already alienated many, including the EU. There are sweeping new spending powers in Part 6 that threaten the devolved Scottish budget and transfer decision-making over areas of devolved spending from the Scottish to the UK government. State aid will be reserved, which could affect, for example, agricultural subsidy, and the whole Act would be placed permanently beyond the powers of this Parliament to mitigate or ameliorate. For those reasons, the bill is wholly unacceptable and should be rejected. The deceit practiced by the UK government with regard to this bill is now a matter of public record, thanks to yesterday's leak of documents that show the truth about how it was deliberately withheld from the devolved governments. But there have been other deceits too. Firstly, the ridiculous assertion that the bill represents a power surge. The opposite is true, as the explanatory notes make clear. In fact, there will be a new blanket constraint on the exercise of the Parliament's powers, and the scope of the constraints can be adjusted at any time at the discretion of UK ministers, regardless of other views. Secondly, there are the repeated assurances that the bill will not lead to a race to the bottom in standards. But the UK currently enjoys high standards by virtue of EU laws still applying during the transition period. Under the bill, should Scotland wish to maintain those standards, we'd be forced still to recognise lower standards set elsewhere in the UK. The UK government has blocked every proposed move to provide legal guarantees that high environmental, animal welfare and food safety standards would prevail. Thirdly, let me rebut the claim that this bill is necessary merely in order to replace at UK level the system of UK market rules. In fact, the bill introduces a system of unqualified powers for UK ministers to effectively impose rules on the whole of the UK, even in devolved areas, which is the very opposite of the principle of co-decision and agreement between sovereign member states that lies at the heart of the EU rules. EU single market rules also recognise policy objectives alongside market considerations, and the principles of subsidiarity and proportionality are crucial aspects of them. And finally, let me talk about jobs. Mr. Lockhart's amendment talks about the 550,000 jobs being protected by this bill. Nonsense. In fact, nonsense on stilts, as exposed in the Ferret fact-checking website last night. Presiding Officer, or they don't like the truth. Presiding Officer, at the end of December, the UK and Scotland will leave the Brexit transition period. The transition is ending because of the astonishing and reckless decision of Boris Johnson to refuse an extension that was on offer despite the fact of a global pandemic and a deep economic recession. Yet even at this late stage, the possibility of leaving in the worst possible way with no deal remains. And even if there is a deal, it will be a low deal, vastly inferior to what we experience now and hugely disadvantageous to business and disruptive to everyday life. So, Presiding Officer, the real jobs threat comes not from the devolved administrations, but from the Brexiteer ultras who have captured the Conservative Party, and those in this chamber who have meekly accepted their writ, no doubt because it saves their own jobs. The way to avoid all this damage is not only clear, but to hand. We can do so by returning to the voluntary common frameworks process devised by the devolved governments in the UK, which, despite our differences over EU exit, has been able to make progress over the last few years. Frameworks are based on principles of equal negotiation and agreement. If there are any missing areas, as claimed by Michael Gove very late in the day, we commit ourselves to closing those gaps. We're also willing to act as if all the frameworks were already in force whilst they're being finalised. And I think the same commitment is being made in Wales. So if the UK does that, we could move on from this present impasse and the deepening crisis. Presiding Officer, this bill is not only unacceptable to the devolved governments, it is also unacceptable to a wide range of organisations and individuals across Scottish society who are deeply worried. Now, of course, there are differing views of Scotland's ultimate constitutional destination across this chamber. But regardless of those views, we can come together today. We can say on behalf of the people of Scotland that we do not consent to this bill. We can stand up against this Tory power grab and urge the UK government to change course. And therefore, Presiding Officer, I move that the Parliament agrees not to consent to the United Kingdom Internal Market Bill, as it reduces and constrains the competence of this Scottish Parliament and breaches international law.
Thank you very much. And I now call on Bruce Crawford to open on behalf of the committee. Convener, please.
Presiding Officer, it's with some regret that I speak on behalf of only 8 members of the committee this afternoon. However, there's a clear division of views between the majority of the committee and our Conservative Party colleagues on the UK Internal Market Bill. This is disappointing, given that the other 8 members on the committee have agreed that the bill undermines the whole basis of devolution. Our view is that the devolution cannot work if the Westminster government simply imposes its view on how the UK constitutional arrangements should evolve following Brexit. Unfortunately, the bill aims to do just that, both in relation to its substance and the way it's been handled. Our most significant concern is with the market access principles of mutual recognition and non-discrimination. Mutual recognition in particular is potentially much more far-reaching than the equivalent EU principle. This is primarily for 3 reasons. First, the list of exclusions on public interest grounds from the application of the principle are much narrower. And second, UK ministers have the power to amend that list without any requirement to seek consent or consult with the devolved governments. Third, the asymmetrical structure of the UK internal market. Given the relative size of the English economy and population, inevitably, it will be market forces which determine regulatory standards. Why would any devolved government then want to potentially put their own economies at a competitive disadvantage by seeking higher regulatory standards, which can then be undermined by imports from other parts of the UK which don't need to meet those same standards? This means in reality that regulatory standards agreed by the UK Parliament would effectively be imposed on the devolved nations. The committee heard that this approach is significantly different from the approach taken in the EU and other internal markets. Dr. Emily Lydgate from the University of Sussex told us, and I quote, "The core of any approach to an internal market that is as integrated as the UK's has to be harmonised rules that have a strong consultative process underlying them. The rules cannot simply be set by one of the countries." Second officer, the committee's view is that it's unacceptable that the UK government should seek to effectively impose new reservations on the devolved competencies through this bill. This is not myth-making, as the Duchy of Lancaster would have it, but a clear consequence of the proposed market access principle in the context of the relative size of England's population and economy. The UK government has argued that the agreement of common frameworks means that the market access principles will only apply in a limited number of policy areas. But it's not clear how common frameworks can address the threat to devolution in this bill. In areas where the devolved governments may wish to have higher standards than the minimum standards agreed in frameworks, these will be potentially rendered ineffective by the market access principles. Consequently, there needs to be far greater clarity about how both statutory and non-statutory frameworks would interact with the market access principles. The committee also considered the provisions in the bill to reserve state aid. The committee agrees with the Scottish Government and Welsh Government that state aid is a devolved matter. Any future legislation on subsidy control should be agreed between all of the four governments and legislators across the UK through the Common Frameworks process. The committee therefore recommends that the reservation of subsidy control is unnecessary and should be removed from the bill. Part 6 of the bill will provide the UK government with a single comprehensive statutory power to provide financial assistance across a range of policy areas throughout the whole of the United Kingdom. The committee's view is that it's regrettable that Part 6 has not been subject to any public or parliamentary consultation. It's also regrettable that the views of the devolved governments were not sought. We reiterate the findings of our report on structural funds post-Brexit, in particular that any UK-wide replacement of EU structural funding should replicate some of the aspects of the current structural funds approach. We consider the decision-taking powers that the Scottish Government currently exercises under structural funds should not be reduced under any future UK approach. Second Officer, the committee previously recommended that there is an onus on all four governments and legislators across the UK to work constructively together to seek a solution to the complex and challenging issues arising from leaving the EU internal market. The committee recommended that this must be achieved through mutual trust and respect for the UK's existing constitutional arrangement. The committee concludes that it is highly regrettable that in relation to the internal market bill, this has not happened. The committee is dismayed that the UK government has instead adopted a hierarchical approach through which its default position is to impose new limitations on devolution, which go way beyond the previous limitations of EU membership. The committee's view is that devolution cannot work on the basis of a Westminster government imposing its view on how the UK constitutional arrangements should evolve following Brexit. The committee therefore recommends that the Parliament does not agree consent to the UK Internal Market Bill, Presiding Officer.
Thank you very much, Mr Crawford. I now call on Dean Lockhart.
Surely the priority, when further restrictions have just been announced on economic activity, must be to protect the 550,000 jobs and livelihoods.
I now call Murdo Fraser.
I think we need to focus on what really matters here. Over 500,000 jobs in Scotland are supported by demand for our goods and services from the rest of the UK.
Thank you very much. I now call on Maurice Golden to close to the Conservatives.
There are simply too many Scottish jobs at stake, over 500,000 in fact, as my colleague Dean Lockhart pointed out.
So does everybody get that point loud and clear? 500,000 Scottish jobs at stake and will be lost because after Brexit there will be no way that England will want to trade with Scotland unless we've signed up to the Internal Market Bill. I tell you, I'm so convinced I'm just about to join the Conservative Party. But just before I go and download the application form, it is always possible that they might be lying. They do have form. If only there was some way of getting a fact checked. Well, as it happens, the Ferret decided this week to check exactly that fact.
Internal Market Bill, claim SNP voted to scrap 545,000 jobs is false.
The UK government wants powers to oversee the way goods and services are traded within the UK after the Brexit transition period ends. The Internal Market Bill passed the first hurdle in the House of Commons on the 14th of September 2020, although 29 Conservative MPs abstained and 2 voted against the legislation. The SNP voted against the bill, saying it was a grab of powers which should be devolved. The Scottish Conservatives' social media accounts accused the SNP of putting jobs in Scotland at risk through their decision to vote against the bill. Ferret Fact Service looked at this claim and found it false. The UK government says the Internal Market Bill is designed to make sure goods and services can move across England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland without issue when the UK's Brexit transition period ends on the 31st of December 2020. It also gives the government power to amend the withdrawal agreement with the EU. This has been controversial, and Cabinet Minister Brandon Lewis admitted this would break international law in a very specific and limited way. The bill has run into controversy over the transfer of powers from the EU to the UK after the transition period ends. The Scottish Government has called it an assault on devolution. What will the bill mean for devolution? Under EU membership, and during the transition period, government policy within the UK is made within a framework set out in EU law. This is important particularly with regard to trade within the EU single market, which the UK is leaving. The devolution agreements with Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland were made while the UK was in the EU, meaning none of the administrations could breach EU law. The UK government wants to maintain the free trading of goods and services between the UK's nations by ensuring that the devolved administration accept goods from other areas of the UK which might have different standards. For example, once the UK has left the EU, Scotland could put in place new food safety standards which are not the same as the rest of the UK, which the UK government says could potentially impede free trade. This law would mean Holyrood would not be able to reject goods from other UK areas which set different standards. The Internal Market Bill would mean rules would apply across the nations, with the UK essentially assuming the EU's role in deciding common trade policies. Central to the bill are 2 principles. The first is mutual recognition, which means that anything that can be lawfully sold in one part of the UK can be lawfully sold in another part. The second is non-discrimination, meaning it would be unlawful for any of the governments to introduce rules or regulations that would favour goods or services produced in one part of the UK over another. The UK nations had previously agreed to work together to establish post-Brexit common frameworks in important areas which will no longer be covered by EU law. However, final frameworks have not been agreed yet. The new bill would put in place a centralised cross-cutting approach instead of agreed common approaches. The Scottish Government has refused to take part in this process, arguing that the approach could force one part of the UK to accept lower standards, while saying it will undermine devolution. What did the SNP votes mean? The Scottish Conservatives claimed on social media that the SNP had voted to scrap 545,000 Scottish jobs. The report looked at the impact of Brexit on Scotland's economy, and estimated the number of jobs in Scotland which are supported by demand from outside Scotland. According to the research, based on Scottish Government output data from 2015, 545,200 jobs are supported directly and indirectly by demand for goods and services from the rest of the UK. The SNP's vote was against the Internal Market Bill's second reading in the House of Commons. By voting against the bill, the Scottish Conservatives claim that the SNP have voted to scrap these jobs which are supported by demand from the rest of the UK. This is not correct. The Internal Market Bill's success will not in itself protect Scottish jobs which are reliant on demand from elsewhere in the UK. Voting against a bill does not mean 545,000 jobs will be scrapped. It is unlikely that the devolved governments would put in place rules which significantly inhibited trade between UK nations, as this would have a negative effect on their economies and could put these jobs at risk. The claim that voting against the UK Internal Market Bill would mean 545,000 jobs were scrapped is incorrect. That figure refers to the number of jobs in Scotland, which are supported by demand from elsewhere in the UK. There is no suggestion these jobs would be lost if the bill is not supported, and the bill is not the only way that jobs reliant on trade within the UK could be supported. Ferret Fact Service, FFS, is a non-partisan fact-checker, and a signatory to the International Fact-Checking Network Fact-Checkers Code of Principles. All the sources used in our checks are publicly available and the FFS, fact-checking methodology can be viewed here. Want to suggest a fact-check? Go to ideas.theferret.scot, email us at factcheck@theferret.scot or join our Facebook group.
Well, it's just as well we checked, because it seems the Tories were indeed telling porkies. And in fact, Holyrood, as did the Senedd in Wales, went on to refuse legislative consent. So Scotland does not consent to what Westminster is trying to do to us with this internal market bill. So let's give the last word to Mike Russell.
Presiding Officer, thank you. Can I make three introductory points which are factually based, so that Mr. Golding can have those facts on the record? One, there is no threat from any of the devolved administrations or governments or parliaments to the continuation of seamless, unfettered trade within the UK. There is no such threat. No Tory has been able to point to such a threat. There is no intention of such a threat. So let's make that clear. Secondly, you do not have to be in the same constitutional structure to trade with your largest customer. If you did, the UK would not be leaving the EU. That is simply reality. And thirdly, this bill is illegal. It contains breaches of international law. It would therefore be against the ministerial code for any minister in this chamber to support this bill. I have to say to you that I have a lot of time for some Conservative members. Not many, I have to say. And I'm going to again embarrass Liz Smith, because I have a lot of time for Liz Smith. She was my shadow when I was Education Secretary. She regularly called for my resignation, but I got over it, I have to say. And therefore, I want to reflect on something that she said about the change over the last few years. Now, she said it, unfortunately, I thought, in a somewhat dismissive way, as if I had changed my mind and vacillated on these matters. But actually, I just want to go back to 4 years ago, and it's useful that Ruth Davidson is sitting behind her, because she herself, on the day after the 23rd of June, a period after, was very clear that what Scotland should be seeking is the closest possible relationship with the EU, and indeed continued membership of the single market and the customs union. Those were the things that united most of these chambers after the 23rd of June. And isn't it extraordinary that just over 4 years on, what we've actually experienced this afternoon, Tory members mouthing off about us handing powers to Brussels, attacking alignments on standards, bad-mouthing Europe, essentially painting Europe as the devil incarnate, because that's what we've heard and that's what we hear again and again. Also, a huge attack on devolution. An attack on the powers of this Parliament, not about making sure that Scotland could continue to be in the single market and the customs union, but in actual fact that our powers should be diminished.
I won't waste the opportunity. Could I just ask the Cabinet Secretary once again, can he name one single power that is going to be removed from this Parliament?
I can indeed. I can.
Cabinet Secretary.
The powers of devolution will be removed because that is a single or collective power. And, well, I want to come on in a moment, Presiding Officer, to the laughter on the Tory benches, which was deeply unpleasant at times this afternoon and is unpleasant again now. Because the reality is every power that this Parliament has can be second-guessed as a result of this bill. There is no doubt about that. But there's been a huge attack on devolution, and the Tories have been isolated this afternoon as extreme Brexiteers. All of them have been isolated as extreme Brexiteers who not only admit the breach of international law, but revel in the breach of international law. And the saddest thing of all of this is the refusal to listen to any and all opinion that has been expressed on this matter. Mr. Lockhart heard from the committee before he spoke, which made it clear, and I think Bruce Crawford's final words were, that devolution cannot work if the UK government imposes its view on the devolved nations. He made that clear. They heard from Labour, Alec Rowley, saying, think again. They heard from Patrick Harvey, who talked about the decision-making of the UK government. They heard from the Lib Dems, and I rarely, if ever, can actually not criticise a word of Willie Rennie's speech. Then we heard from the Royal Incorporation of Architects of Scotland, the GTC, the NFUS, the SCDI, all dismissed. And indeed, the NFUS, in a very sinister move, were misquoted on what they said. Because they were clear, they were very clear in the submission on the white paper what they felt. But that was brushed aside. Because the reality is that, in the words of an Irving Berlin song, they're all out of step but Jim. They're all out of step except what the Tories believe to be true. And not even they believe it. Because there are people on the Tory benches who know this is deeply wrong. This is deeply wrong. Because this goes well beyond what should be happening. And we heard that in the rather nervous laughter on the Tory benches during the opening speeches. They were giggling like schoolchildren when they'd heard a naughty word. But I couldn't actually work out what the naughty word was. Was the naughty word Scotland? Was the naughty word democracy? Or was the naughty word devolution? Because on each of those occasions, they were giggling away at those words. I want to conclude, presiding officer, by making something very clear. There is no doubt whatsoever, from the evidence that the committees have heard, there's no doubt from the bill itself, this is a major attack on devolution. It is illegal, and if it is supported today by the Tories, they are aiding and abetting a hostile Westminster government in undermining this Parliament. There are no ifs, there are no buts on this. They are also voting for something that is against international law, and they will know it. And this afternoon, there were three solicitors who sat on the Tory benches, who sat through this, and not one of them referred to the legal issues in this bill. That is shocking. I had to go back those 4 years, because 4 years ago, just after the Brexit referendum, there was a view in this chamber that we could find a way forward for Scotland that preserved something of the valuable things we have from the EU. And now we have a host of ranting Brexiteers who are about, Mr. Simpson laughs, a host of ranting Brexiteers who are unfortunately undermining this Parliament and the democracy of Scotland. It will not stand. It will not stand. Tom Arthur made that point, and I make it again. This is wrong. It should not happen. We should refuse permission, and we should continue to oppose this, no matter what.
Thank you very much.
So from the cutting-edge debate at Holyrood, down to Claxwifey action planning. Now, as I said in the introduction, we're sharing this in the hopes that it might be of interest or assistance to others, but also that you might in return want to share some ideas that you have, which we'd delighted to hear. So our action plan for the next couple of months starts with three guiding principles: visible, positive, and safe. Visible because we think it's really important that support for independence is visible. According to the polls, it's the majority view, but you wouldn't know it from just wandering around in your daily life. We thought the more visible we can be, the more it becomes the case independence is normal. Positive, activities which will either benefit our community or cheer up the community in some way. We want independence to be seen in a positive light, but also, even if they don't agree with your politics, it's very hard for people to criticise you doing something that is of benefit to them and their community. And safe, obviously, we want to observe the COVID distancing requirements and also any activities that we do outside are weather dependent. Now, within those constraints, we found there were certain activities that fitted the bill really nicely. The first of those is Bridges for Indy. You'll know we've done a couple in the last month. We're going to aim to do one of those at least every month, weather permitting. The other thing we thought of as a recurring activity over the next couple of months was litter picking. It's visible, it's great for the community, and it's safe. So we've scheduled in a few litter picks throughout October and November. We'll just see how the weather holds. Litter picking is also a nice family activity as well, so bring the kids along. As you know, Claxwifey, you're big on stone painting. So we've thought of a further two occasions when stones might be really good. One is Halloween. People won't be able to do the normal trick-or-treating this year, but we thought, well, we could make available little stashes of pumpkin-themed stones with saltire on the bottom, of course. St Andrew's Night was huge for us last year because all the stoning community were aiming to do 100 stones each and distribute them amongst the areas where they live, which we did do. On reflection, whether that had as much impact as, say, piling them up, we're not sure. So we thought this year we would have a think about doing some kind of cairn of stones, and then people can either add to it or they could take them away as souvenirs or whatever. So that's a bit of frantic stone painting activity coming up for us between now and Halloween and St Andrew's Night. Another activity we're looking at is the kind of guerrilla display, pop-up banner, that kind of thing, where you appear in a visible place around town, display a banner for a couple of hours even, a couple of flags, and then melt off into the night again. We've been looking at the National Banner Library, and if anybody is interested in knowing more about that, it's a fantastic idea. If you look on Grassroots Oban's website, you get all the details there. You can join as a member, you get 5 banners, but also then the ability to share your banners with other groups. And then the final thing we came up with was a little bit of fun for Christmas, getting in the Christmas spirit, although goodness knows what Christmas is going to be like this year. We have a Facebook page, so we thought we could have a cookie recipe exchange and invite people to share their recipes on our Facebook page, and ideally, if they have the wherewithal, to maybe share a little how-to video. It would be lovely if those cookies were also Independence branded or had saltires on them or messaging, because that way we could be sharing recipes and ideas and tips. It's another way of being visible, getting the message out. Sounds like fun. So this brings us back to our teaser. Did you guess what we were up to? That's right. We did our first litter pick this weekend, and here's how it went. It's Saturday morning. We are not on a bridge today. We instead are out in groups doing some litter picking. So this is a little bit about community empowerment and taking responsibility for our own communities and not waiting for the government to do it all for us. But also it's something we can do in the fresh air. It's quite a nice day, lovely autumn colours. And we can work in pairs, so we're not breaching any 2 household guidelines. And we've been supplied with litter pickers from the council. We've got Yes Clacks high-vis jackets, and we're working in pairs covering Tullibody, Tillicoo Tree and Aloha. Right, we're just down at the station at Aloha, and my goodness, the station car park is totally empty. People obviously not travelling, as they've been told not to. Impressive.
This?
Right, how does this work?
I presume you just open these up, put the bag on, and close them back down.
Clever. And then you're supposed to hold it.
Then it's got this bit here for holding it. So.
And this being Aloha, the very first people we saw in an otherwise completely empty train station car park was another couple of folks from Yes Clacks. What are the odds? Hello.
Hiya.
Have you come to help?
We're going to get all the litter out the bottom of the man there.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's such a recognisable landmark as well. That makes a good photo for the papers and things.
Okay.
See the Yes Clacks? I'll stand like this so you can see the Yes.
Glad to see them being worn.
Oh, they'll still come in useful, Dick.
We've got a few different things we use.
I'm doing a lot of environmental clear-up stuff through my work, and I think you should register what you're doing with Keep Scotland Beautiful onto their website. They might be a wee bit touchy about
the fact that we're women for independence,
but you're a community group engaging with the
community empowerment.
Positively.
Thank you. Well, we can have a look at the website.
Have a look at it.
And somebody shared a round table or Rotary 1320.
Oh yes, that's ones that's doing the big walk for freedom.
But they're also doing
1320.
They're also doing a thing about, have you done any art? Being creative, share your art with us. So I've sent them a message, the slates and stuff so far, and thought, because they're obviously looking to collate stuff.
1320, Treaty of Northampton. No?
It was
Was that not the Declaration
of Declaration of Arbroath, 1320.
Okay.
But I'm sure Northampton did something important that
was,
as well.
That was where eventually England acknowledged Scotland's sovereignty.
Probably about the same time then.
It must have been round about then.
Yeah.
They did a 5-hour digital rally that we chopped up and put on the radio. Yeah. And we're going to do the iconic statue outside of Alloa train station, and the reason we picked that, apart from the fact everybody recognises it and knows where it is that it's the first thing you see when you get off the train. And if your immediate impression of Alloa is look at that big statue that they're using as a bin, then that's our plan. It also makes us very visible because it's right in the middle of town, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't really get more central than this. How do you get it out?
How did they get it in? See, some stuff, like...
Some of it will squish.
This actually feels like it's got fluids in it. But it's not, you're not going
to... The holes at the bottom are quite small. Do you want me to try and push it up?
Oh no, so if I go like that, I think there's a biggest hole at the back there. If you get the... get it up a wee bit further. No, we don't know if somebody's actually peed in this.
Well, do you know, let's assume that they have rather than...
I was looking at this one here.
Oh look, here's
thinking,
a big hole, here's a big hole.
Yeah, we could be hours at this.
We could, couldn't we?
But, you know, you almost need something to tie it on.
Yeah, it's just a combination of pulling and pushing. And
yeah.
Right, we are trying a live stream here. Well done, Lynn. We're at a beautiful October day. Look at that, lovely skies. We are outside Alloa station and there's this lovely statue just as you get off the train, and for some reason people use his legs as a rubbish tip. So we've got armed with pickers, we're doing a Krypton factor and getting stuff out the bottom of his legs. Probably the biggest hole is round about his bum there, we can get stuff out. And we're gonna...
Or up there,
yeah. And we'll see what we can, how if we can manage to sort this out. Catch you later. And it depends on the shape of the thing as well. And so far everything we've picked has been recyclable as well, which is annoying.
Right, I've got the bottom of the snow shovel I've got in my car.
Well, that might be all surgery.
It's like Kerplunk.
I was thinking more, did you ever see Silkwood where they were doing the nuclear rods for the...
Well, there, that just shows our mentality. You're on nuclear rods, I'm on...
He's
going to
get a picture of
it. Oh yeah, we're just trying to clean it up a bit.
But we'll get there.
Thanks. Need a shoehorn to get them in.
Because it's so hard to get out. Do you know what's so annoying about this? Look at the bin, look at the distance it has to go.
I know. I think we made that point in the picture.
Yeah,
It's not been easy getting all this stuff out.
And there's a bin there. You know, why have they used the statue?
Nine steps, I've just pieced it out to the bin.
That's disgusting.
But that's it done now.
It's nice to see that.
Just stones and leaves.
And I mean, see, going up that path up there, see the dogs too.
Oh.
And it's like that eight is disgusting, we'll not even lift it. Mm. I think it's
horrible.
Horrible, it's ugly there.
We've done what we can here. You know, that's one of the things I love about Alloa. Everybody talks to you. Right, how long did that take? I've kind of lost all track of time. Right, well that was fun. Half an hour, we've emptied the statue. We met some really nice people, stopped and saw what we were doing. And one bloke with, we should have realised from the Union Jack on his face mask, he's saying, yes, Clarks, I hope you don't mean that witch.
Well, given as we were standing wearing Yes Clacks jerkins in front of a car emblazoned with Yes signs, and Lynn has got her saltire earrings in, and I'm wearing a Yes Biker's face mask, but that guy gave the impression that 300 years ago he would have been burning us happily just for the temerity of having opinions. Yeah, there's still some throwbacks around, but luckily he was outnumbered about 10 to 1 by nice people who appreciated what we were doing. Now, as it happened, we just ignored him at that point and got back in our cars and headed off to the next spot. But you always think of the perfect response afterwards. 2 days later, I thought, oh, we should have asked him who he thought would have made a better job of leading us through the current situation. And really, whatever his answer was, we could just have laughed and then walked off.
Right, so where are we? Is that Lawrence Hill?
That's Lawrence Hill Academy.
Right.
And this is the public footpath that takes you up over Gubber Hill between Alloa and Sauchie.
Right, okay. And already you can see plenty of...
Definitely.
She's trying. Thank you.
Now, as you'll have noticed, we've been doing a little bit of live streaming throughout this, trying to live stream back to our Facebook page. Important learning tip, if you are recording audio with your phone, it won't also multitask and record audio with your live stream. So what we've ended up doing is filming silent film to our Facebook page, although I do have the audio, so at some point tomorrow I'm going to try and match those two things up. And we'll put them on the Clacks Wifey playlist on the Indie Life Radio YouTube channel. Tell ya, every day's a school day.
Right, this is us about to start our second bit of litter picking. This is a bit of waste ground outside of the back of Lawrence Hill Academy, and it's minging. Here comes Lynn with her first handful. Oh my goodness.
You know, the bottle's still got fluids in it.
Unidentified fluids.
There's a whole double decker.
Oh.
Well, I shan't be eating it though.
No, yeah. And what's that? It's in football,
like,
or
half a football, and then some sort of. It's almost like membrane you'd put down to stop weeds coming up or something.
Oh, don't breathe it. So we are one of three teams out today from Clacks Women for Indy. Although we're wearing Yes Clacks vests because we don't have any Clacks Women for Indy vests. Just get your back, Lynn. She's walking away from me. It's all right. Oh, Tracy's waving. Hi, Tracy. We've just waved at Tracy. So, yes, we've got two other teams out. And so far, apart from one bloke wearing a Union Jack face mask, everybody we've spoken to has been very friendly and has said thank you and what a good job you're doing. So they do appreciate it. And it's a beautiful day. It's a lovely October day for being out and about. And we're going to try and get up this wee path a bit, see how we get on. So I guess I better stop filming and start doing some more picking, or I'll be getting complaints. Oh, hi Lorraine. There's Lorraine. Give her a wave too. We'll catch you later, and we've better go and get on with some work now. Bye now. Is there a bin near? Yeah, look, there's a bin. No distance. But you wonder at what point people stopped putting stuff in bins. Because I remember as a kid being in Princes Street in Edinburgh and seeing somebody drop a wrapper, and people at the bus stop turned around and said, hey, pick that up. Yeah. You know, you don't do that here. And when James was 5 and went to school, every day he came home with something, sweetie wrapper or something, in his pocket, because he'd been told that you put it in your pocket and you bring it home. Yeah.
It's the same with kids' lunch boxes. We didn't let them put anything in the bin at school. They put it in the lunch box so the parents could see what they'd actually eaten out of their lunch.
That's a good idea.
Because invariably you would get kids that would swap things or not eat things.
Well, that's made a difference already, just getting the...
I mean, you can get the big bits, plastic bottles and stuff.
But this kind of thing, if it's kids coming down from lunch hour, or on the way home, getting them to come out and clear it up is probably the best message.
Well, that's
it?
What I remember years ago saying to one of the, technical staff, you know, and they do litter picks in school. But I'm thinking, make the whole thing of it. Why don't you go, you know, start from scratch, start from... How do you make a litter picker? Do you make litter pickers?
Yes.
And go out and use them and test them and see, and then have a challenge to see who can get, you know, the most or whatever.
And you can make it a school subject tie and say, well, what percentage of it is recyclable and not? And weigh the bags, and what's the most popular sweet wrapper you've found? There's no end of things. It's a bit like cleaning the house though, isn't it? You notice it when it's dirty, but when it's clean you don't notice that it's not dirty. But this is where they park, presumably, so yeah, it's recycling. I mean, maybe if they park here and they've got cans or stuff, they'll maybe think twice about dropping them if there's nothing. Well, maybe not, but you know.
No.
All you can do is what you can do. And what's that? That's somebody's rubbish bag. Yeah. What would you do if you found an arm sticking out or something?
There might be a wee squeal comes out.
That's just somebody's put a bag of their rubbish in there.
Yeah, big job there.
When you walk along, why don't they get the school kids? I think the school kids do it sometimes.
Do they?
And to be fair, it's not just the school kids.
There was a lot by those where cars are parked, you know, right, and they just chuck it up. But the thing is, the bin's just there.
I know.
You know, that's...
You get along that road as well, the Glen Uckle
Road. Yeah, on the Glen Uckle Road, by the Soppy Roundabout.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you get all the way down.
When we go for a walk, the verges are just full of rubbish.
So that was our first litter picking adventure on, and well done to the other two teams, Tullerian family plus Marion in Tillicoultry, Anne and Lynn's in Tullybody, and we hope to be doing more litter picking. Our next plan is to do Gartmorne Dam, which should be really good fun. And that's it for this week, so thanks for listening. We'll content ourselves with Sunshine in Clackmannanshire while we play us out with Jazz in Paris. See you next time. Bye now.